If you have your Bibles today, would you open to Colossians chapter 2, starting at verse 16? And as we do that, if you don't have your Bible, it'll be up here, or you can follow on your device or however you choose to follow. I've been racking my brain for the last 2 weeks, because we didn't meet last week, about how to introduce this to you, because this is a topic that really can be tough to talk about, simply because legalism, and I'll explain what that is in a minute, can infiltrate a church very subtly and spread like a cancer. So I want to try to give you a couple of illustrations to draw you into this. How many of you, I guess some of the older folk here, although it's still on television, how many of you remember the program Cheers? Okay, good many of you, right? Remember Cliff Clavin? Remember who Cliff was? I'm sorry, Jim. Jim is a male person. Cliff Clavin was the mailman at Cheers, and he had this personality where he think he knew everything, right? You would pick a topic, and he'd have something to say, and you fast figure out he knows nothing, right? How many of you have known somebody like that? Okay. I want to take another example from a more modern-day example, and some of you may have seen this, some of you may not, but there's a program on television called The Big Bang Theory, okay? How many of you are acquainted with the character Sheldon? Okay. Sheldon is a genius. He knows a lot, and he knows a lot of true stuff, but he doesn't get it. Do you ever meet people like that? They know a lot, and a lot could be true and good, but they somehow just don't get what life is about. So if you get somebody like a Cliff Clavin, they just like to hear themselves talk. They really don't know what they're talking about. If you get somebody like a Sheldon Cooper on Big Bang, he knows what he's talking about, but he completely misses the point in the whole thing. I call both know-it-alls. All right? Was that a fair description? You know, know-it-alls. And when you take a know-it-all personality and combine that with religion that's integrated with human tradition and human laws, that's a dangerous combination. And that combination results in what the Bible calls legalism. And legalism simply is this. Legalism is this mindset that says God's grace isn't enough. If you want to be a good Christian, you have to do such and such. In other words, let me put some flesh on that. If you want to be a good Christian, you can't play cards. If you want to be a good Christian, you have to have a certain translation of the Bible. If you want to be a good Christian, you don't wear slacks to church. If you want to be a good Christian, you don't have long hair. We get into all this stuff of man-made traditions and that type of thing. And before you know it, some of this stuff sounds okay. Right? For instance, there was a time in church history not too long ago where I probably wouldn't be allowed in because of my facial hair. It's true. It's true. Somebody just said that's ridiculous. But that's how ridiculous legalism can be. Okay? There would be time, ladies, where any of you who came in slacks would be told to leave. When I first came into the ministry and I had a female choir director, I got flack. Because only males could be up here, you see, singing. I'm just telling you, these are true stories. You can't make this stuff up. Angelo, you've been there, right? You know, he knows. And sometimes this stuff starts sounding good. You know why it sounds good? Because no matter how you cut it, once you get into a legalistic mentality, it feeds the human ego. And look how good I am. Look at gun. I yes. Okay.
I have a friend who's
transgender.
Okay. And she said she gets turned away from a long
term. Well, she still needs Christ, right? So that's my answer.
That doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah. Well, it should. They should. But we get into all of these nonsense things, okay? But no matter what your background, no matter where you are, you need Christ. Is that a fair statement?
Yes.
Okay. You need Christ. Years ago, some of our women, not here, but in a different church, went down for a ladies' retreat down at Harvey Cedars. And I guess this is going back, I guess around 2000 or so, you know, so we're talking 17 years ago. And some of the older ladies came back. They were upset. And here's why they were upset. This goes back to what you were saying. The reason why they were upset is because some of these young women who were there, they had tattoos. They had tattoos on their necks. They had multiple piercing in their ears and all of that. And they were genuinely upset. And listen, I'm not trying to be pejorative here. I'm just trying to say when we get into this mindset, it can be dangerous. And you have to come back to basics because no matter who you are, you need Christ. And when we start adding stuff into it, what we're saying to Jesus is that your grace isn't sufficient now. We need to rely on something else. This is what was happening in the church of Colossae. And Paul is writing this letter because false teachers had gotten in there and they said, no, listen, if you really, really want God to love you and you want to be a good Christian, you had to do more. You had to do more. So let's look at this and just bear with me as I read this. It says, therefore, do not let anyone judge you but by what you eat or drink with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. What Paul is laying out here, he's laying out some principles by which you can kind of meditate on and say, if you see any of these in the fellowship, beware. When we start to judge on externals, that's what these things are. They're externals. Religious celebrations, festivals, and the Sabbath day. When we start to judge people by what they do on the outside, what they look like on the outside, that should raise a red flag. Does that make sense? All right. Can you picture somebody coming into the congregation who's actually seeking to know what this whole thing is about? And maybe they come in looking a lot different. Maybe they haven't taken a bath in a week. Maybe they have purple or red in their hair. Maybe they're tattooed, pierced. What would you do? Would you stand up and give them your seat? Would you sit with them? Okay? Rather than pointing fingers and saying, your kind doesn't belong here. Beware of those who judge from externals. Legalism comes from human rules and regulations. Human rules and regulations. You need to understand that. When we start adding our own rules and our own stuff, that becomes dangerous. So you have legalism. You also have another form of legalism that creeps in. Any of you ever hear of mysticism? What's mysticism? Can anybody tell me?
New Age.
Could be New Age. Yeah, it could be New Age. But it could even be more subtle than angels. Okay. It could come in this way. God gave me a vision. And because he gives me a vision, he likes me better than you. It's not said quite that way. But that's the way it comes out, you know. Now, listen, I'd be the first one to tell you that God still does grant dreams and visions, but if they're not in line with what the Bible says, it's usually from a bad pizza or a bad sub. All right? Everything has to be tested by the Bible. And I still believe that God can do those things. However, just because God may choose to work in somebody's life that way doesn't make anybody more spiritual or less spiritual. Does that make sense? So what these false teachers were doing, they were coming into the fellowship and saying, hey, look at me. I have these special revelations from God. The fact of the matter is, what you and I need to know is all here. Now, can God give a special revelation to somebody? Yeah. But here's the key. It's never, never to elevate the person. It's always to edify someone else. Does that make sense? It's never to say, look at me. It's to say, I think God gave me something that might help us in our walk. It's a big difference, isn't there? But mysticism was a problem, especially with angel worship. Yes. Go ahead. Okay. That's a form of suffering. Right. Okay. I'll get into that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, no, no. No, that's fine. If I don't fully answer it, we'll talk later. But that's a good question. It's a really good question. Mysticism is the belief that, you know, if you have dreams or visions of deeper religious things, you're more moral or spiritual than somebody else. Then we come to asceticism. This is what kind of what you're talking about. Asceticism is belief that the body is evil. Okay? And you say, yeah, we don't do that anymore. Yeah, we do. And that's why this thing is so hideous and suffering. In legalism, asceticism is belief that you can beat or treat the body harshly to earn God's love. That's what it is. I had a neighbor. he came home from work one day. We used to get home about the same time, and he gets out of his car and I see him limping. This is a true story. I see him limping. So I went over to him and I said, "Are you okay?" I said, "I'm fine." I said, "Why are you limping?" He says, "I put stones in my shoe." This is a true story. I can't make this stuff up. All right? I said, "What do you have stones in your shoe for?" He says, "Because, you know, I do some things that God doesn't like. And if I suffer, and I took a deep breath, and I said, suffering doesn't earn God's love like that. He loves you without the stones in your shoes." And I had the opportunity to share the gospel with him to say, "Oh, this is nothing new. I mean, there are people sometimes who go to religious cities or big basilicas and cathedrals, and they'll walk up the steps on their knees, thinking that there's some religious merit in that type of thing. Well, let me give you a clue. God doesn't love you anymore if you do that. He loves you unconditionally. But we get so wrapped up in this stuff. Asceticism, going back to your question, Jackie, as far as the bleeding from wounds and all, there's been cases over the century where people have been injured like that. And they, you know, was it a miracle? Was not a miracle? Statues, I guess, that have bled. I don't know. You know. I don't know. I do know this, that the only wounds that count are the wounds that were put on the cross in Christ's body. That was the only rule. Nothing else matters. That I know. Okay? And so, when Christ was resurrected from the grave, what's one of the first things you notice with his new body? He still had the holes, the piercing in the side. And he said those were sufficient, totally sufficient for the atonement. Why? Because he shed his own blood. So those things, we have to come back to those basics. That sort of answered the question, okay? Now, listen, I don't want to be a naysayer here, but you have to understand that there's still a great counterfeiter who's roaming the earth. And his name is Satan. In fact, if you attend Jared's class, he'll tell you about some of the counterfeiting he's going to do in the future. And he's doing it now. Satan wants to really derail you from being connected with Christ by a lot of this stuff. And we lose our focus off of Christ and we put him on us. There's another aspect of mysticism that says, since the body is evil, as long as your spirit is right, you can do anything you want with your body. And you see that today, too. And that's not right. That's error. That's heresy. Because the Bible says what? Your body is what? Of who? So your body does matter. And what you do with it does matter. We can honor God with what we do with our body. He doesn't call us to abuse it. He doesn't call us to neglect it. So there's legalism from human rules and regulations. Mysticism. Getting ahead of myself here. Look at verse 17. These are shadows of things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in who? Christ. Reality is found in Christ. Christ is sufficient. Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and worship of angels disqualify you. In other words, don't get derailed. Don't get distracted here. One of the people, I'll give you a type of people, okay? One of the types of people that I am very cautious with is somebody who comes up to me all puffed up with all sorts of knowledge to tell me stuff and they say to me, but I'm only humble. I'm only humble. Yeah, you got a funny way of showing it. But yet that's the mindset here. Such a person goes into detail about what they have seen. They are puffed up. I like that. They are puffed up with idle notions by their unspiritual mind. The self-deception that can go on here, they think they're very spiritual, but they're not. They're really not. They're falling for a ploy that is not healthy. They've lost the connection with the head from whom the whole body, the church, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God caused it to grow. Once we lose our connection with Christ and his grace and his love, then we're in trouble. Whether it's legalism that derails us, mysticism, asceticism, then we are in trouble. I don't want to step on any feet here, but you realize that the grace of Christ is sufficient to forgive our sins because of the cross, correct? You realize that. You realize that confession simply involves saying what we did that was against God, lying, cheating, lust, whatever it is. And we truly are sorry for having done it, and we ask God to forgive us. And the Bible says he forgives. We don't have to do penance. Sometimes we think we do, don't we? We don't have to do penance. And what I mean by penance, I'm not picking on any religion here, what I mean by penance is simply this. You don't have to go around walking with stones in your shoes. You don't have to go around thinking you have to do something to earn God's love back. All we simply need to do is confess it to him. See, legalism will isolate a church from the world. Here's where you can tell if a church has become legalistic, when you hear a lot of things like, you know, don't be like them. Okay? We become a club. We don't let outsiders in because they look different or act differently or dress differently than we do, and I'm ashamed to say, or maybe they're a different color than we are. It will isolate us from the world to the point where we begin to think we're holier than thou. When the truth be known that I'm no better than anybody else. And the only reason I can stand here before you is because of the grace of Jesus Christ. Not because of anything I've done, but because of all that he has done. If we develop a holier-than-thou attitude, we're in trouble. Legalism focuses on image, not the heart. Legalism makes us look good on the outside, but it does nothing on the inside. We can be just as empty. You know, I forgot to do this. I was going to bring in my raw egg today. I did this with Tommy once. Thanks. You realize, how many of you ever tried to take a raw egg, and when you put it between your hands end to end, you can be the strongest man in the world. You're not going to crush it. You can try this at home. End to end, not in the middle. End to end. All right? You're not going to crush it. The reason why you're not going to crush it is because the egg still has substance in it. All right? If you took a little pin and drained the egg of its substance and did the same thing, now you can crush it. The empty egg is a sign, is a symbol of somebody who's interested in just image with no substance. It gets crushed by pressure. You know, there's nothing to it. But where God is working in the heart of a person through his Holy Spirit and through the Word, where a person is indwelled by the Spirit the moment they believe, the Bible says now the law is written in our hearts from the inside. And because the Holy Spirit lives in you and me, we know when we start to cross the line, don't we? We know through the Word of God, through the Spirit of God. We know what we should do. We know what we shouldn't do. External laws, although we need laws, generally speaking, to know where the boundaries are, external laws never change the heart of a person. The only thing that can do that is Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Scary thought. I wonder if this day and age, if Jesus came to the door looking like he looked, homeless for the last 3.5 years of his life, how many churches would let him in? In Revelation, was it Church of Ephesus? I behold, I stand at the door and knock. Can you picture that? Jesus standing at the door of the church and knock. Nobody's letting him in. Nobody's letting him in. He says, just let me in. I'll come and I'll have communion with you. Just let me in. Legalism focuses on image, not heart. You remember when David was paraded, if you will, to be king? You remember Samuel went to David's father and said, let me see your sons. You know, God told me that the next king of Israel is going to, or the king of Israel is going to come from your sons. And of course, the father said, not David. David's too short. He's ruddy looking. Somebody want to explain what ruddy is? Yeah, an outside rough complexion. He's ruddy looking. Now, the king that they had looked good. Tall, strong, stood head above. But he was all image. His name was Saul. All image. So one by one, the sons of Jesse are paraded before Samuel. And none of them did. And David was still out with the sheep. And Samuel says, Jesse, where's your other son? Oh, you really don't want to look at him. You really don't want to look at him. Go get him. She brings him. And he says these words. Listen to me. God doesn't look on the outside. He looks at the heart. And he chose David. Not because he looked good. Because he was a man after God's own heart. They have lost their connection. One more example of this. You remember the publican and the sinner? Jesus tells that story. Publican is somebody of high stature and prominence. And he's praying for everybody to see him. And he says to this man who's on his knees, crying out to God, that he's a sinner and that he needs Jesus. And the publican says, look at him. I'm not like him. I'm holier. May we recover the fact that God looks for people on their knees who are willing to cry out to him, acknowledging that we're nothing but sinners who need to be saved by grace. Legalism usually starts small in a church and then it spreads like a cancer. Legalism ignores grace. It squashes love. Do you know, you could be 100% right about something, and without love, that becomes brutality. Do you ever think about that? You can tell somebody the truth, but if you do it without love, it's just brutal then. But if you tell somebody the truth in love, well, then that means something. Legalism squashes love. Keep the focus on Christ. Grace doesn't need anything added to it. In fact, he goes on to say it here. Since you died to Christ, the elemental spiritual forces enter the elemental spiritual forces of this world. Why, as though you still belong to the world, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not touch. These rules have to do with things that were all destined to perish with use, are basically merely human commands and teachings. Such regulations indeed have the appearance of wisdom, with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but lack any value in restraining of sensual indulgences. And what Paul is saying here is this. Do you want to stop doing stuff that offends God? It's not going to happen with external rules, but it will happen as you fall deeper in love with Jesus Christ and you let him, through his Holy Spirit, change your heart from the inside out.